I tell you, when you I've been praying about this and wanting to preach through Revelation, and I'm thinking, you know, 12, 14 maybe weeks or so, we might be in this thing all year. In two services, I'll be, if the Lord helps me finish for this year, we'll be through eight verses. So Revelation chapter 1, look at verse 4. If you're there, say amen. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Let's pray. God, we love you. Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, as we open up your word tonight, God, I pray, God, you would help us, the Lord, right now, God, to just take it, Lord, like a sponge, just soak up everything that you have for us tonight, God. And God, I pray, God, you would help it to be real. God, I pray, God, you help it to be relevant in our lives. God, I pray, God, you'd help us, the Lord, to hide it in our hearts, God, right now, Lord, that we might not sin against you, God. Lord, we know from already our studies, God, that we're going to be blessed just by reading this tonight, blessed just by hearing this tonight, God. And God, I ask your hand to be upon us, God. Touch each and every one of us. Help us to be better Christians, better witnesses for you through this, and we'll praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to preach just a little while on the thought, the source of Revelation. And I was, as I was studying this, I come upon a word today that I had never heard in my life, Adrian. I don't know if y'all ever get like that. Anybody else ever run across words you've never heard? I'm going to say this, and then if anybody here knows what it is, just raise your hand if I can pronounce it. Emmanuenis. Anybody? Emmanuenis. I think that's right. Dang, nobody got their hand up. Let me read you what it says. This is according to Webster. A person employed to write what another dictates or to copy what has been written by another. That's what John is. John is someone that has been called upon to write down what is dictated to him and what he sees. Jesus Christ is the source of revelation. Amen. Amen. You understand that the revelation came from God to Jesus, from Jesus to the angel or the messenger, from the messenger or angel to John, and from John to the churches. So understand something. We understand that this whole book is about Jesus. Amen. Amen. But this last book is really about Jesus. I said in our last sermon that this book magnifies Jesus and reveals Jesus in a light that we don't see in the rest of the when he came first time, he came as a babe in a manger. When he comes the next time, he's coming as a king on a white horse. When he came the first time, he came lowly in flesh, and he was humble, and he was meek in his spirit. When he comes the next time, he's going to sit on the throne. He's going to rule and reign forever and forever and forever. So Revelation gives us a better light of Jesus Christ, the one that you and I worship, the one that you and I praise. Let me tell you something. If you really start studying the book of Revelation, then the Bible tells us that's what we're doing on Wednesday night, to study, to show thyself approved, a workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why we're here tonight. When you get a grasp or an idea of what Jesus is in the book of Revelation, you'll have a whole new light. All we know about Jesus, if we ain't careful, is what we see in the play. Amen. All we know about Jesus is what we see in the movies. There's never been a movie that could depict what Revelation says Jesus is. Think about that now. And we got all kind of great movies about good Christian movies, but there's nothing. Jesus is the source. Now, the source of Revelation. Verse 4 right there says, John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is and which was, which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Number one, I want you to think about this. We see the Trinity in the book of Revelation. If you go to the first book of the Bible, we can find the Trinity. If you go to the last book of the Bible, we can find the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. It's all right there. Now notice what it says. He which is. This is a paraphrase of the name Jehovah or Yahweh, which is I am. That is comes from Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say, children of Israel, I am sent me unto you. So when Jesus says that which is, this is a paraphrasing of Jehovah or I. He's saying, I am. He said, I am God. I am the one. I am the one that was in the beginning. I am the one that's going to be in the end. I am. We see the Trinity. He was in the past, which was. He's in the present, which is. He's going to be in the future, which is to come. Then it talks about the seven spirits which are before the throne. Now, the seven spirits which are before the throne, this is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. Now, if you go back and break that verse down, the Spirit of the Lord, that's one. The Spirit of wisdom, two. The Spirit of understanding, three. The Spirit of counsel, four. The Spirit of might, five. The Spirit of knowledge, six. And the Spirit of fear, seven. That is the seven spirits, it's symbolic of the Holy Spirit. The number seven, it shows perfection or completeness. The number seven does not represent seven different Holy Spirits. There's not seven Holy Ghosts. There's one Holy Spirit, but it talks about the seven ministering aspects of the Holy Spirit. That's what that is talking about. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10 says this, for who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel, who with those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. This is the Holy Spirit. Now we see Jesus as it goes on. The faithful witness. Now listen, all we need to know about Jesus and all we need to know about God the Father is right here. If you want to know anything about God the Father, you look at the Son. If you want to know anything about the Holy Spirit, look at the Son. Amen. John chapter 14, verse 9. Now listen, and this is what Jesus said. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how seest thou then? Show us the Father. Now there were other witnesses in the Bible that Jesus Christ is who he said he was. God the Father said in Matthew chapter 3. Verse 17, he says, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So God the Father spoke from heaven all that time out in the Jordan River and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Don't you let there be no doubt that Jesus Christ is who he said he is. John the Baptist testified of Jesus Christ in John chapter 1, verse 29. And the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. John the Baptist was a faithful witness to Jesus Christ. This book right here, if you'll study this book, it tells of Jesus. Amen. John chapter 5, verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. I'm not worried about what Billy Graham says. I'm not worried about what T.D. Jakes says. I'm not worried about Preacher Buddy C. I'm not worried about nobody else. I got my Holy Bible, glory to God, and I ain't got to have nobody else to tell me who Jesus Christ is. I ain't got to have nobody else to preach to me who Jesus Christ is. I can read it for myself. But now, if Jesus is who he says he is, Jackie, wouldn't his word be enough? John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I don't care what Oprah Winfrey says, and I don't care what nobody else says. There are not many ways to heaven. There's one way to heaven. There are not. I'm telling you right now, you listen to me. Hey, you can't get there by nobody else but Jesus. You can't go through Buddha. You can't go through Muhammad. You can't go through grandma and granddaddy. You got to go through Jesus or you ain't going at all. Goes on to talk and says he's the first begotten of the dead. Now, most of us understand what that is. Others were raised from the dead. We understand that Elisha and Elijah, they raised folks from the dead. We understand that when Elisha died, they threw a body in his grave. And when that body touched the bones of Elisha, it got up and walked around. We understand that several people throughout all the Bible were raised from the dead. Lazarus was raised from the dead. The widow of Nain's son was raised from the dead. The Bible says that when Jesus died, that the graves burst open and people came out of the graves. But understand something. Lazarus died again. Elijah died again. Elisha died again. I mean, and all these, the widow of Nain's son died again, and they all got buried back in the ground. And guess where they're at right now? But Jesus Christ is the first begotten of the dead. Understand something? He was the only one that was raised with a glorified body. When he came out of that grave, he had won a victory over death, hell, and the grave, never to die again. He was raised in glorification. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father right now in the same body that walked out of that grave. You understand me tonight? Hey, he was the first begotten of the dead. That's what the Bible tells us in Revelation. Whew. Y'all better say amen real quick because I'm getting tired. Then he goes on to talk about he's the prince of the kings of the earth. Jesus is the only one that rules this earth. Now, I realize and I understand what the Bible says, how Satan was cast out of heaven and this is his domain. But you understand something. Hey, he is on a leash. He can't do nothing that Jesus don't approve of. Amen. Amen. He is the prince of the kings of the earth. He allows everything to happen that still goes on in this world. One day, he's going to come down and reign physically all over this earth. He's going to put Satan in his place. He's going to put everybody else in their place. And the Bible says, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Then it goes on to start to list the three works that Jesus did for us. Number one, in verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, first begotten of the dead, prince of the kings of the, unto him that loved us. How many of you realize that Jesus loves you? I mentioned this a little bit Sunday. How many of y'all messed up since Sunday? Means you realize that Jesus still loves you. He don't love you no less right now than he did Sunday. And next Sunday, he ain't going to love you no less than he does right now. And there ain't nothing you can do to make him not love you. Did y'all hear what I just said? There ain't nothing you can do to make him not love you. I mean, listen, even people, Jackie, even people that blaspheme his name, he still loves them. He don't love them no more than he loves you. We don't understand that. We cannot understand. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for the preacher. He died for the drunk. He didn't die for the Sunday school teacher. He died for the drug addict. He didn't die for that good moral person that ain't never done nothing wrong. He died for the prostitute. He died for all the, that's the ones he died for. And the Bible talks about, and such were some of you, glory to God. But thank God he loved me. He not only did he love me, he proved he loved me. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for him. If anybody has ever, I've done my best in the last 38 years to prove to my wife that I love her. And I hope there is not a doubt in her mind that I love her. If there's any doubt in your mind that Jesus loves you tonight, there's something wrong on your end. Because he loves you. Not only does he love us? The Bible goes on to say, and unto him that loved us and washed us. Not only did he love you, glory to God, he loved you. He could have loved us, Jackie, and said, well, I love him, but I ain't going down there for them. I made them. I love them, but I'm not going to go down there and save them. I don't need to do that. I'm God. But that's not what he did. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, now listen, know ye not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. And I'm going to tell you to stop right there, nor effeminate. That's talking about the homosexual crowd right there, in case any of y'all wondering. In case anybody is watching online is wondering. Effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortionists shall inherit the kingdom of God. That encompasses all of us. And such were some of you. Now listen. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Not only did Jesus love me, glory to God, he cleaned me up. The Bible right there is to wash right there, Brother Donald Boone. That means to wash fully. How many of y'all remember when you was little and you go outside and play all day long? I know you do, Jackie. Go outside and play all day long in the dirt. How many of y'all, did your mama ever come in there and check you before you got out the bathtub? Amen. Y'all remember that? My daddy would say something like, boy, if you don't get clean, you get out of that bathtub, I'm going to whoop you. Not only he washed me, but he washed me fully from head to toe. There ain't a spot he missed, glory to God. You need to understand that. When you got down on your knees and you asked Jesus to save your soul, that he didn't miss no spots. If there's anything missing, it's on your part. He cleaned you from head to toe. He washed you fully. Then it said, but ye are sanctified. That means to make holy or to purify. Not only did he wash you, glory to God, he made you holy. He purified you from head to toe. Then it said justified right there. That means to render just or innocent. Not guilty. Not guilty. Remember all the stuff you did? Remember all the ungodliness you did? Not guilty. Not guilty. Bible goes on to say that he made us kings and priests. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, Albert Barnes' commentary says this. I wanted to read this. The word kings, as applied to them, refers to the exalted rank and dignity which they will have, to the fact that they, in common with the Savior, will reign triumphant over all the enemies that have gained a victory over sin and death and hell, and may be represented as reigning together. The word priest refers to the fact that they are engaged in the holy service of God, or that they offer to him acceptable worship. I want to back up just a little bit right there. Understand, I want to read this in. Will reign triumphantly over all enemies. How many of y'all realize he has made you a priest and a king? And one day you're going to reign over all enemies that has come against us. One day we'll, right now Satan's in control down here, but one day we're going to reign with Jesus and Satan will be under us. Ain't you going to be glad for that day that you can put your foot on his neck and say, hey, we win through Jesus? That's what it means when Jesus saved you. We reign as kings and priests. Let me say this. Jesus is coming. Verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 11 says this, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you, so shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. He is going to come back so every eye can see him. Now listen. This is not the rapture. The rapture is going to take place all of a sudden. It's going to be a catching away or us being caught up. It's going to happen by surprise. In other words, when the church is gone, they ain't going to know what happened. Amen? That's not what this is talking about. Every eye right there, some believe that this means everyone who's ever lived. Now listen, I don't claim to understand everything. That's way beyond my capabilities. But think about this. I know that without a doubt, the Bible says that when the rich man was in hell, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. Amen? So how could you and I say that when Jesus comes back that every person in hell won't see it? All right? Let me just kind of prove my point to you. Jesus told Caiaphas, you can probably quote this. Jesus said unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Caiaphas had been dead for over 2,000 years. And Jesus said, you'll see me come back in the clouds. You'll see me sit at the right hand of the Father. I believe some of y'all did. That ought to excite us, y'all. One of these days, we're going to get to see that. He told Caiaphas, and now notice what he said, and they also which pierced him. Everybody that pierced him, that this could mean all those that killed Jesus on the cross, all the Roman soldiers, all those that were there, or it could mean all the Jewish people. But I believe that those that nailed Jesus to the cross will see him when he comes back in those clouds, amen. Those that stood at trial, those that bear false witness, if they didn't get saved, they'll see Jesus Christ coming back in those clouds seated at the right hand of the Father. Either way, he's coming. And it's going to be visible. Matthew chapter 24, now listen. Then they shall appear the signs of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of heaven mourn. Of tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels and a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. We know this is the second coming because everyone will wail and mourn. Let me just stop right there. This is not the rapture. This is the second coming of Christ because the Bible says they will wail and they will mourn. When the church is raptured out, we ain't going to be wailing and we ain't going to be mourning. We're going to be shouting. We're going to be singing. We're going to be smiling. We're going to be happy. So we know this is not the rapture. We know this is the second coming of Jesus. He tells us one more time who he really is. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. Jesus told them who he was. There's a lot of folks, if you get on the internet, there's a lot of folks, you know, Brother Ralph, you get on there, they say, Jesus never claimed to be God. That's a lie. That is a lie. Jesus told them who he was. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Every Jew, Adam, every Jew that read that knew exactly what Jesus was saying. Before Abraham was, he didn't say I was. He didn't say before Abraham was, I was there. He said before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, he claimed to be God. He told them he was God. He's coming back as God. He sits as God right now. There's never been a time that he wasn't God. There'll never be a time that he won't be God. There'll never be a time that he ain't sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. And understand this. He's coming back for you and for me. Somebody wrote this. In AD 381, a long time ago, the guy's name was Gregory of Nazianzus. I think so, how right. He began his ministry by being hungry, yet he is the bread of life. Jesus ended his ministry by being thirsty, yet he is the living water. Jesus was weary, yet he is our rest. Jesus paid tribute, yet he is the king. Jesus was accused of having a demon, yet he cast out demons. Jesus wept, yet he wipes away our tears. Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver, yet he redeemed the whole world. Jesus was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, yet he is the good shepherd. Jesus died, yet by his death, he destroyed the power of death, hell, and the grave. He is who he said he was. He is the source of this whole book. He is the source of the revelation to John. Amen? Amen. I love you. I want you to bow your heads. I never want to end the service without giving somebody a chance. If you got a need, this altar's open.